Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it not a beautiful morning out there today? There are a couple of announcements I want to bring special attention to. One is April 3rd, the first Sunday in April. We're going to be doing the communion, the Lord's Supper, so put that on your calendar. And today we've got a special chat and sip after church. Feel free to come down and enjoy a meal with us. Okay? And also, tomorrow is Jewel Sluter's birthday, and when you see her, wish her a happy birthday. Any other announcements? If not, would you take the friendship registers in the pews and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance today? And then open your bulletin and let's go into the left front cover and do the unison reading that's printed there together. And it reads,
I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Good morning. It's good to see Kathy Tilly is here. Thank you. Yeah, I know. I hate to make you embarrassed, but it's good to see you. And others are here, too. Please welcome those that are visiting us after the service. If Mr. Snelson is here, so please welcome him. Of course, you're all here again, which is great to see you. It's good. Anyway, if you would, we'd like to continue our worship now. If you'll open your bulletins, we have the call to worship inside. If you'll just stand and sing joyfully, this would be great.
Our God reigns.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you just acknowledging that you do in fact reign. You know, we ask that your presence be here with us this morning. Be with those who couldn't be here for whatever reason, Lord. And we ask that you be especially be with our shut-ins. Just ask that your spirit be with them and comfort them and let them know that we still consider them a vital part of our church, Lord. And we ask now that you guide us, direct us, and forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
If you'll remain standing and turn to number 36, Immortal Invisible. It's a great old hymn.
Please be seated. And if you would, take your bulletin and turn to the inside cover, and let's do the shorter catechism question 106 today. I'll read the question, you do the answer that's printed in bold. What do we pray for in the sixth petition?
In the sixth petition, which is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray that God would either keep us
and as we come to the time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:7. And it says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
Key. those whose lives have been redeemed, broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed, little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpets spell the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grand stands all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing Amazing Grace. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this time and are honored to give back a portion of that which you've given us. We ask, Lord, that you bless these tithes and offerings and gifts, and let us as a church use them wisely, Lord, to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
What a wonderful day to come together in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And Kathy, we appreciate that so much. Just to remind us, Easter's coming, but the King is coming. And we're grateful for that and thankful. As we come before the Lord today, it is with gratitude in our hearts as we lift up those needs of our congregation and of our loved ones. So let's bow as we come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many, many ways that you bless us. We thank you for this beautiful day that we can come here to this place to worship you in the house of worship. And Lord, we pray that each person that's here today might receive your special blessing and your touch by your Holy Spirit. And Father, as you move around this congregation, you know the needs far better than we do. And you know those that are here suffering from physical problems and physical illness, those that aren't here today because they can't come for one reason or another. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would go out and touch them and heal them. We pray for John Wood and ask you, Lord, that you would heal him from this back problem that he's been having, making it difficult for him to even stand for very long. So we ask, Lord, that you would heal him physically by your Spirit, that you would touch him. And Father, for others that are not here today, that are home, possibly listening over the internet or through a CD, we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might move into their homes and into their hearts and touch them physically. Father, for those that are struggling with emotional difficulties and emotional problems, worries and concerns and fears, Lord, we pray that you would encourage us by your Spirit to cast our anxieties onto you because you care for us, to know that you really are our friend and you are one who is constantly with us, that you'll never forsake us. And Father, we pray for our nation, for the United States of America. We ask, Lord, for wisdom given to those who are in positions of authority, that the decisions that are made might reflect your will and your desire. And Father, for the problems all around this world right now, we pray and ask that your Spirit might be like an oil that spreads over these problems and calms them down, calms down the hearts. And Lord, our hearts especially go out to the people in the Ukraine who are suffering. For whatever their governments may believe in, people are suffering. And so we ask that your mercy would be great, that you would protect the children, that you would protect those who are in need. And Father, we ask that as we lift them up, that our hearts might be moved to remember them in prayer and do what we can to make their suffering less. Father, we pray for the continued ministry of Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church, that your Holy Spirit might continue to shine forth from this church into a dark and dying world, that many might hear your word and come to you and profess you as Lord and Savior. And again, Lord, we are so grateful and thankful that we are yours, that we belong to you, and we ask that you'd continue to pour out your blessing and your strength as we deal with a fallen world. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
If you would, take out your hymnals and turn to number 31. This is My Father's World, which is a great hymn. Normally sung sometimes on Father's Day, but this is our Heavenly Father we're singing about today. So if you would stand and worship and sing loudly. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Never said it had to be in tune.
Jesus, Lord,
Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. Scripture reading which is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 2, the second Psalm, Psalm 2. Reading verses 1 to 11. And hear now the word of God. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son, and today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, and be warned. O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear, and rescue, rejoice with trembling. And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, there are times when we use certain phrases so often that we don't really stop and listen to what actually is being said by them. You know, on every Sunday morning now for the last at least 5 weeks, five Sundays, six Sundays, we've been reciting parts of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to say. And this is a prayer that we don't say every Sunday because when you say it over and over again, sometimes it loses the meaning. We sort of take the words for granted. You know, this is just like some phrases that we often use. For instance, we say things like, oh, I could just kill him. Or we might say, I love them to death. Well, you know, if we stop and think about what we're actually saying, that's probably not what we're really trying to communicate. It's just, these are phrases that we use over and over again. When I was in seminary, we had an individual there who came to the seminary from Australia. And when people come from a different culture, they tend to listen to your language differently and take it more precisely, maybe, than we would. And he would ask us questions about some of the phrases that we would use to describe things. And he asked this question. He said, you know, when you're teaching your children to pray and you say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. And he said, you say this with your children night after night, that if I should die before I wake. And he said, and then you turn around and you say, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. And so your children are laying there like, am I going to die before I wake up? Am I going to be bitten by bugs? Oh, what is? But these are things that we're used to saying over and over again, and we may not actually think about it. Well, you know, the Lord's Prayer can fall into that category too, where we repeat it over and over again, and sometimes the meaning of the words tend to lose their value, their impact on us. But we have to realize that what we're saying when we repeat the Lord's Prayer is actually a prayer to God. We're praying to him. And this Lord's Prayer was given when the disciples came to Jesus and they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I believe that had two different meanings. And that was, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, they were Jews and they were used to going to the synagogue and praying, but they saw something different in Jesus. And they saw that when he prayed differently from what they were used to praying like. And so they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, how to pray, not just to pray, but teach us how to pray. And Jesus gave them a pattern of how they should address our Heavenly Father. And we're all familiar with this. I'm not sharing anything new here. But first, he said, you address the one that you're speaking to. And basically, it'd be like our Father in heaven. I know we have the King James, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But basically, what it means in a literal translation is, Father in heaven, we praise your name. And so it's addressing who it is that this prayer is being spoken to, our Father. And then once you address the person you're speaking to, then you begin to share the requests that you may have, something that we call supplication. And the first request is this: thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the very fact that Jesus said this, when he said, thy kingdom come, it was referring to the fact that there were two kingdoms in operation at the same time. That there was the kingdom of God, but there was also a kingdom of this world. And that kingdom of this world was very powerful and very pervasive. Try to think about what was going on during that time. And this past Friday night, we showed a movie here that was called Risen. And I know that the first part of that movie in particular was pretty violent, because it portrayed the Roman Empire, who were godless and they were heartless. They had no concern at all for human life or human misery. And so, to me, this was a very accurate, in fact, it probably wasn't anywhere near as difficult as the times actually were. But this was a portrayal of this kingdom of darkness that pervaded the world at that point. And when Jesus came into this world, he brought a totally different concept of what life was really like. Like John 1:9 said, and the true light coming into the world enlightens every man. The people began to see, well, there really is a difference here. There's something different about all of this. The Apostle Paul speaks about these two kingdoms, and he gives us some great insight. This is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And it says this: he has delivered us from the domain or kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. There's Paul making reference to the fact that there were these two kingdoms, and they exist, they coexist side by side in this world. Jesus also alluded to this in Paul's conversion. Remember when Paul was knocked to the ground and blinded, and he said, who are you, Lord? And the voice said, I am Jesus, the one that you're persecuting. Quite a shock for him. But in that moment, he said this. This is in Acts chapter 26, as Paul's recounting this to the king. He says this. Jesus said, I am delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus making it very clear that this world that I'm sending you into, this world of the Gentiles, has their eyes closed. They cannot see me. They cannot understand me. On Wednesday nights, we've been looking at 1 Corinthians, and realizing the fact that Paul is saying that they don't understand because they can't understand. The Holy Spirit is not in them to interpret what they're hearing, and so it all sounds like gibberish to them. Foolishness is the word that Paul uses. They can't understand it. If they could understand it, they never would have crucified Jesus. Turning from the power of Satan and his kingdom to the power of God and to his kingdom. You know, again, referencing that movie that we saw on Friday night, the main character there was a tribune, Roman tribune by the name of Flavius. And Flavius was convinced that all these rumors about this Nazarene rising from the dead was nothing more than a myth. and he chased down the disciples, and he wanted to put them to death because of what they believed. And finally, he broke into a room where the disciples were gathered together, and in their midst was Jesus. And Flavius had seen Jesus on the cross. He went up to him and looked into his face, and he was dead. And then he saw him sitting with his disciples. And it's a very powerful, moving moment in the film because he just steps back. He can't believe it. He's shocked. It's one of those moments when your eyes are seeing something and your brain is saying, that's not possible. That can't happen. It's often called a paradigm shift in our thinking. And we get hit with these things every now and then, where suddenly we realize, no, everything that I believed up to this point isn't right. And God opens up our eyes to the truth. And all of a sudden it hits us, and we go through that dilemma. Well, that's what Flavius was going through. He's going through a paradigm shift. And of course, in the end of the movie, he ends up proclaiming Jesus as his Lord. Very powerful. Very powerful. But that is what happens. That's the moving from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And if you belong to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've made that journey. There was a time when in your ignorance you did not believe, in my ignorance I did not believe, that Jesus was really the Lord. And when you come to that point of surrendering to him, everything changes. Your life changes. You know, Jesus gave us a taste of what God's kingdom is really like. And it always amazes me because there are people that will condemn the church. They have all these reasons why they don't go to church, all these reasons why they don't believe that the church is really of God. But when you ask those people, well, tell me, what do you think about Jesus? A friend of mine who is actually a PCA pastor, his name is Bill Iverson. And Bill Iverson said that he was in New York City. And Bill was a very confrontive type of a person. That's part of his ministry. He was in New York City, and he was in a taxi cab. And he thought, well, here'd be a good opportunity to find out what people believe about Jesus. So he asked the taxi cab driver, what do you think about the church? And this taxi cab driver went on and on about, you know, oh, the church is full of hypocrites, and the church is this and the church is that, and all they are out for your money. And, you know, he went through all the traditional things. And Bill let him go, and then he stopped and he said, well, what do you think about Jesus? And he said, all of a sudden, the cab driver changed. And he said, well, Jesus he's a great guy. I mean, he was concerned about people. He went out and he healed people and he blessed people and he benefited people. You see, Jesus gave a little bit of the kingdom of God to people here on earth. And they saw what God's heart was really like. That God was not this great judge in the sky that was smashing people down because of their great sin. But he was a God of mercy and he was a God of compassion. And he was drawing people to him. Jesus gave a little bit of that kingdom on earth when he was here with us. In fact, he made statements like, the kingdom of God is upon you. The kingdom of God is all around you. The kingdom of God is at hand. You see, and really, this is why we meet every Sunday. We're meeting not just to remember what Jesus did. We meet to acknowledge what he's doing. Like somebody said, Jesus is not the great I was. He's the great I am. So he says, thy kingdom come. Pray about this. Pray that God's kingdom come here on earth. Why? Because we know what the kingdom of the earth is like. We know what it can do. We know the horrors that are involved in the kingdom of this world. And what we really want is the kingdom of God. We want the kingdom of heaven. So we pray. Jesus told his disciples, pray that my kingdom will come on earth. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. See, that's the second part of this. Thy will be done. We as human beings have this natural tendency to want to do things our own way. We want to do things the way we want them done. And then we want to be able to take credit for the success. Not the failure, we'll blame that on somebody else. But we want the successes to be given to our account. Some of you may be familiar with the song that Frank Sinatra made popular, and that was the song, I Did It My Way. He was very proud of that song. And these are the lyrics. This is just the first part, but it says this, and now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, but more, much more than this, I did it my way. You see, that's the human nature right there. That's the heart of humanity right there. I want to be able to do things the way I want them done, and I don't want anybody to stop me. Well, that's nothing new. I mean, that's the heart of man. It goes all the way back to the very beginning, all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. I want to do it my way. Has God really said? No, I want to do it my way. How's that working out? In Judges chapter 17, verse 6, it makes this statement, and it is so true even today. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Everyone did what they thought was right in their own eyes. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like what we're watching on television almost every day? You know, where people go into stores and they walk out with all kinds of clothing and all kinds of things and they don't pay for anything and they dare you to stop them? That's exactly what we're looking at right here. Everybody did what seemed right in their own eyes because there was no final authority in anything. No king in Israel. In other words, just do your own thing. No president in the White House, so just go ahead and do your own thing. Everybody do what seems right. No God in heaven, so there's no accountability. How dare anybody tell me that I'm in sin? I'm going to do exactly what I want to do, and if you don't like it, that's your problem. I don't need you, you need me. Wrong. Not true. And yet here we have a responsibility to call people to the Lord, call them to obedience to Christ. And the only reason we do is because of the mercy that God's given us for them. We want them to be able to enjoy life as God intended it. And the only way that'll happen is if they submit and surrender to the Heavenly Father. So what are we praying for when we say, thy will be done on earth? We're praying that people will be willing to surrender to our Heavenly Father, to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, to give their hearts to him and not say, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it my way. You know, you have to wonder how things actually worked out for old Blue Eyes. You know, I've heard people say, well, he's up in heaven singing to God right now. I think that would be wonderful if God saved him at the last moment. It certainly never came out that he had surrendered his heart to the Lord. It's not a judgment from mankind, it's a judgment from God's word. Are we willing to surrender to God's will? Willing to say, not my will, but thine be done, as Jesus did? We have to trust in all this. We have to trust that God knows what is best for us. You know, we want to look at life and say, this is what I think will make me happy. And so many times, unfortunately, we buy into that and we end up being miserable because that was not what was going to make us happy. That is not what would bring fulfillment in life. And we're surrounded by people that are doing this continually. And it's hard for us not to do it continually. Those things out there, those cars, those houses, the boats, they don't make us happy. In fact, everything that we own takes a piece, a chunk, out of us and out of our happiness, ultimately. Oh, it might bring us some happiness for a while, but then it starts to fall apart and it becomes an obligation. We have to trust that God really does know what's best, and we place ourselves in his hands. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And the last part was on earth as it is in heaven. You know, our God is a sovereign God. He is sovereign over the heavens and the earth, sovereign over all the universe. There is none like him. He is the creator. He is the one. And King David recognized that over and over again as he looked at mankind and he said, what is man that you're mindful of him? Why do you even give a flit what we think or what we do? And yet God says, I do. I care about you. In fact, I care about you so much that even the hairs of your head are numbered. That's intimate. I mean, that's pretty intimate. Especially due to the fact that most of us are losing that day by day, and it gets to be less and less, but God knows it. He knows exactly what it is. So David asked this in Psalm 2. He said, so why do the heathen rage? Well, the word there, heathen, just means the ungodly, those that don't have a relationship with God. Why do the heathen rage? Look around the world today. Who is it that's raging? Do we have a bunch of Christians who are getting together and raging against the government? No, we don't. Even some of these movements, these organizations like the truckers in Canada and the truckers here, they're very orderly. They're not burning down buildings and breaking windows, and they're not raging. They're trying to prove a point, peaceful demonstration, which should be our right. But they're not raging. So David says, so why do the heathen rage? And then he says the second part. And he said, and the peoples plot in vain. Getting together and making all these underhanded mandates and commitments. And you have to do this and you have to do that. That's the plotting of people. Why do they do this? Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? He says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. And we say, well, now, wait a minute. You know, those the kings, that's probably the leaders of countries, you know, the president of France, Macron, or you know, all these different people, that they're all taking counsel together, they're all meeting together, trying to control something or move some agenda forward. And, you know, and we think, well, that's just against us as individuals, but that's not what David says. He says they're plotting against the Lord. They're plotting against the Anointed One. They're plotting against God Almighty. And David said, why are they doing this? And then he gives the final analysis, and he says, he who sits on high, he laughs. It reminds me of a story that I heard about this lion in the jungle. And the lion was full of himself, and he was walking through the jungle, and he saw a monkey, and he grabbed the monkey, and he shook the monkey, and he said, monkey, who is king of the jungle? And the monkey said, you are, sir, you are. He said, all right. He went a little further and he found a rabbit. He grabbed the rabbit and he said, rabbit, Who is the king of the jungle? And the rabbit said, you are, sir, you are. He went a little further, and he came up on an elephant. And he jumped up on the elephant, and he said, elephant, who's king of the jungle? And the elephant grabbed him and smashed him down into the ground and threw him up into a tree. And the lion said, we don't have to get so mad just because you don't know the answer. And that's what I feel is happening today with all these little tyrants that are shaking their fist at God, and God sits on heaven and he laughs. He laughs. And when the Lord has had enough and he lowers the boom, he'll strike terror in the hearts of these individuals. They will not escape. That's God's promise. Why do the heathen rage? Why do they plot this vain thing? Because they cannot comprehend the things of God's kingdom. They cannot comprehend that there is an almighty God. But God is sovereign over all the earth. He goes on to say that these individuals will be broken by a rod of iron. I want you to stop and think about what happened to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, in all of its glory, lasted for a period of time, and now it is no more. Because God is sovereign, and God will not allow these things to happen without his notice and without correcting the situation in his own time. And I know, you know, as I speak about these things, I'm sure people say, you know, you talk about the same thing every week. And I don't try to, but this is the world that we're facing. And we have to be able to face it with the confidence of knowing that our God is almighty. And also with the knowledge that Jesus has told us to pray that God's kingdom would come and that his will would be done on earth just as it is in heaven. That was a command that he gave when he taught his disciples to pray. And as we pray, we should be praying. We should be praying that God's name would be lifted up, that the name of Jesus Christ would be lifted up, not only in America, but all around this world. There are people that are suffering. There are people that are crying out because they have no God. And we need to pray that God opens up their eyes to the truth. There are plenty of opportunities now through the internet and through everything else for people to know the gospel message. We need to proclaim it. We need to do everything we can to proclaim it, that the name of Jesus might be lifted up. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, again, we thank you so much for your love and mercy. And we thank you, Lord, that you have called us out of this world to be your own. We are your people. And you've told us to come out from among them and be separate. So, Lord, we pray and ask that even this day, that we would call upon you as our Lord and as our Savior. Father, if there are those here this morning that have not surrendered to you, I pray and ask that this would be the day that they would give their heart to you and call upon you as their Lord. And I thank you for each person here. Pray that your blessing would be upon them. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
And to follow up on that, we're singing How Great Thou Art, which I think is a perfect hymn for this. So if you would stand and turn to number 5. Stand.
Oh,
Please bow for the benediction. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.